from daddy's old LGO. And I lost my mind somewhere in New Mexico. And T.W. put a snake on my back. I keep a red bone on my side.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, January 28th, 2019 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And wild and dystopic ride it is, to be sure. So let's get started, shall we? Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. Again, I think that, I was thinking about it during this time, especially because of the work that James Corbett has done from January, mid-January, Martin Luther King Day, mid to late January. 15th to the 21st, somewhere around there usually. Until obviously the day that Martin Luther King was assassinated, April 4, we should be having a discussion about the actual facts of what happened. Who knows? Maybe something will come of that. I think it's astonishing the blatant disregard for the actual facts and truth that's out there, and it's lurking just beneath the surface. I mean, the trial in 99, that was 20 years ago. And it was proven back then, and many people know this. Now, it was proven that James Earl Ray was just a patsy, and there was a vast conspiracy at various levels that involved the federal government, organized crime, local police force personnel. That's astonishing. If that's true, then obviously it begs the question, why? Why was there such a conspiracy that involved so many people at so many levels? And we should be talking about that. And then from there, we might as well, I was thinking about it over the weekend. We might as well skip forward a couple months. That would be great. Imagine what that would do to unite the country. Instead of stopping at April 4, maybe we, on April 4, we remember again that James Earl Ray was a patsy. He was framed. The only way he escaped was because, well, for starters, the warden was paid handsomely to make sure that James Earl Ray managed to escape. And then he's gallivanting all over the North American continent. So, we should be able to talk about that now, and then on April 4, maybe we remember the truth about why Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, why he had to be gotten rid of, and it really goes back again to that Beyond Vietnam speech. April 4, 1967. And while we're having that conversation about peace and how detestable and loathsome and unpalatable, shall we say, war is, especially with all the extenuating circumstances, again, wouldn't we want to bring into the discussion, all of the books that we know about. Maybe especially close to the era, not skipping too far ahead. Jonathan Quitney's Endless Enemies, The Making of an Unfriendly World. Probably, you know, William Bloom. A few other books. You know, probably Rogue State, maybe, by William Bloom, among others. And, of course, Anthony Sutton. Bring some of those in. Wars and Revolutions, Parts 1 and 2, published in 1973. Probably National Suicide, Military Aid to the Soviet Union. These kinds of books, if we're courageous enough to look at them, will paint a different picture. And see, that's the problem. Most people are reluctant to face the truth fully and head on because it alters your reality. It's really interesting when we start looking at the facts honestly and not turning a blind eye and not trying to exist on propaganda. So much of what goes on in America today is really... I was reading Hayek's Road to Serfdom again a little bit over the weekend, and it's just interesting the language that he uses in chapter 11. I've been trying to get to this. It's really interesting how in a totalitarian regime, people have been so, just I can't even think of the word. People have been not bombarded, but they've just been so acculturated, I guess, to this false message, this propaganda that is false. It creates a false reality, and it's so pervasive that it just becomes normal. And Hayek makes the point that you would think that based on this information, people would be, they would be repelled by it. But because of the acculturation, it just becomes normal, and it's so pervasive, it's everywhere. And so it really does create a psychologically deranged society. It really does. It's a society of mentally deranged folks that embraces propaganda like that. And that can't last forever. Deranged, kind of like, you know, you think about, again, Stockholm Syndrome comes to mind, you know, when Renee in North Carolina and I have these conversations on air about how folks that are arguing about factions, two sides of the same party, it's the business party, there is no competition to it, really. So everything ends up being haggling over nuances and semantics of the same party. It's the business party. I mean, you and I, when was the last time you proposed legislation? When was the last time you or I went to a convention, you know, for an organization like ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. When was the last time that we engineered the passage of some legislation? And, you know, James Madison told us, this is not news. It is just simple, you know, he wasn't psychic. You see it happen a time or two, and then it should be clear. In Federalist number 62, James Madison wrote of this situation, another effect of public instability is the unreasonable. He was talking about the mischievous effects of a mutable government. One of the effects, mischievous effects, was the unreasonable advantage it gives to the sagacious, the enterprising, and the moneyed few. But remember, you know, backing up for the average person, he says the internal effects of a mutable policy are still more calamitous. It poisons the blessings of liberty itself. It'd be of little avail to the people that the laws are made by men of their own choice. That hasn't happened in a long time, has it? I mean, very, very seldom at even a local level, which is where our focus should be anyway. It'd be of little avail to the people that the laws are made by men of their own choice if the laws be so voluminous that they cannot be read. Where are we now? You know, you look at the Constitution, it fits in your pocket versus all this other stuff. And what is that for? Just chains, you know. If they be repealed or revised before they are promulgated or undergo such incessant changes that no man who knows what the law is today can guess what it will be tomorrow. Yeah, it's public policy today, right? Law is defined to be a rule of action, but how can that rule be which is little known and less fixed? Speaking of all of that, in Blackstone's commentaries, he talks about laws for, you know, just the division of law, and this discussion of the difference between civil law and common law. And there is a difference, and sometimes they masquerade. One will masquerade once in a while as the other, or try to sort of mimic it. You know, we have administrative public policy that tries to pretend that it derives, for example, from the Bill of Rights. But it's a counterfeit. And it feels like a counterfeit. And your mind wants to say it is a counterfeit. And Lee Brobes reminds us that Swift versus Tyson really kind of established the balance of power in America as a common law. But by 1938, Erie Railroad versus Tompkins overturned that established precedent, and the Supreme Court declared that there is no federal general common law, which means what? Stick around, we'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Welcome back. The overturning of Swift versus Tyson in the Swift versus Tyson 1842 case, 1842 Swift versus Tyson, by Erie Railroad versus Tompkins in 1938 means, of course, that the Supreme Court essentially overturned the standing precedents of over 100 years prior. In the declaration that there is no federal general common law, and that means that the prevailing body of so-called law of the governing the conduct and affairs of every American is this feudal civil law, this inquisitorial ministerial thing that masquerades as the common law. And so basically, in simple terms, one could look at that and say, infer that this was a move to do all kinds of things, but sort of chiefly and paramount among them is the idea that it moves a people from a law of peace, so to speak, to the law of conflict, the law of feuds. It's a feudal system. And that's why, as you look around, it seems like people who are willing to fight You know, as long as you fight the prescribed way and you use tools that most of us would be reticent to use, well, then you win. And what does that encourage? It encourages bad behavior and malfeasance and evil, Machiavellian deception and intrigue. Instead of people working their problems out, you know, if you can find a way, I forget who it was that said, you know, one of the old school bad guy quotes, you use the law, basically, and attorneys to get what you want, and, you know, brute force is only for the savage, basically, and that's what ends up happening. People use the power of a system that is continually bent on evil to take advantage of one another, and that's very unfortunate. To the phones, John in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, Chris. Love your show.
Good morning, John.
My wife loves your show, too. You started off the show talking about the vast conspiracy and we needed to discuss that.
I think, between Martin Luther King Day and April 4, the day that he was assassinated, I think I just imagine if we were all, you know, people were talking honestly about the very real conspiracy to assassinate Martin Luther King. And then from there, from April 4, maybe we skip forward to June 6th. When Kennedy was assassinated, because that speech that he gave in Indianapolis, April 4, 1968, was incredible, and he was dead 2 months later.
Well, okay. And then you made a good point by saying most people don't want to face reality.
Yeah.
And my brother happens to be one of them, and I couldn't believe it. This was about 5 years ago. He said to me, John, I believe Oswald killed Kennedy. And I didn't know what to say. I did say 90% of the people don't believe that.
Yeah.
And then in another conversation, he said to me one time, he said, John, I just want to be happy.
Right.
And you'll love this one. You'll love this one, Chris. I went to visit him at his house. And I was sitting there at the dinner table, and his wife looked at me, and she said, Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Give me an effing break. I mean, that's what we're looking at. A lot of it is people don't have faith today, Chris. They don't have faith,
yeah.
And I think that's one of the main problems with this country. I rely on God every day.
Yeah, it's interesting. In my experience, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by
me. Absolutely.
And it's interesting, in a moral relativist society, in my observation, and this is just my conjecture, but it seems when a person says, whatever they say about truth is how they feel about Christ, essentially, you know? Well, what's true for you is not necessarily true for me. You can substitute Christ for the word truth in those statements. Anyway, stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Thanks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce. Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website. The patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up, churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank, fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns, their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down, the fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance, he's going for speed.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour already. We're on the phones. We have John in Texas on the line. It's John. This distinction is no small observation. It's one of those forks in the road. You can't go down both paths simultaneously. And so, what we're talking about, incidentally, sort of coincides with what I was saying about the marked departure in 1938, the Erie Railroad versus Tompkins case. The marked departure in that decision, where the Supreme Court declared there is no federal general common law, that departure from the 1842 Swift versus Tyson case, which declared that the common law, the general federal common law, was the law of the land. And we can see it. The trend now since 1938 toward this, law enforcement, for example, the ministerial, inquisitorial sort of feudal law concept, where everyone is presumed guilty until proven innocent, versus Andy Griffith in Mayberry, who didn't even carry a firearm. And I'm not coming at this from, I'm not being cavalier or, I don't know. It's not a casual remark when I talk about this stuff, and especially the Stockholm syndrome. So you said what you said in response to how I opened the broadcast, but, you know, getting back to what you said about your brother and sister-in-law, for example, it's not a, you know, it's not a trivial thing, in my opinion. I hope folks listening know that. It's, when I say Stockholm syndrome, I'm not being cavalier. It really is like that. It'd be the same as, you know, seeing a society of people predominantly embracing their kidnapper, and people saying, you know, we've all seen a woman, for example, who is either dating or married to a man who is really abusive. And this is sort of the cliche example, so I'll use it, but he's really abusive. Everyone knows, every time they're together in any kind of a public setting, it's uncomfortable for folks because it's so awful. People want to do something, but this is a grown woman, a grown man, and apparently it's a consensual relationship, but not really, because no one would allow themselves to be treated that way normally. And she keeps trying to defend him. No, he's just misunderstood. You guys just don't know him. It's very awkward and uncomfortable. And that's America today, because of all of this propaganda. Go ahead.
I personally know, I've known people like that, couples, where there's abuse going on. And
but the situation you describe with your brother, it reminds me of that, because when you say, you know, for example, he has said things like, I believe Oswald killed Kennedy and I just want to be happy. Basically, that's, you know, just trying to. The only reason someone would say something like that is probably because they have misgivings, but they, you know, I don't want to try to challenge my kidnapper because that might mean death. So I'm just going to try to, you know, get as close to my enemy as I can, because, you know, keep your friends close and your enemies closer and maybe you'll live. That it's a survival instinct.
He said to me, you better watch your mouth. They'll get you. He did say that.
Mm-hmm. I remember. I remember playing Trevor Aronson's at a family gathering not terribly long ago. I remember playing Trevor Aronson's TED Talk, where he starts out, and the opening words of his TED Talk are, "The FBI is responsible for more terrorist plots in the United States than any other organization, more than Al Qaeda, more than Al Shabaab, more than ISIS, more than all of them combined." And the guy, one of the guys listening to it said, "What is this guy still alive? Is he dead?" Yeah. And what a sad testament to where we really are. If people could only get a hold of what that means, when the average person who's relatively unaware, you know, doesn't really traffic in the truth, you might say, when they make a statement like that, what a sad commentary on where we really are in America.
Hey, Chris, I'm in a slight little hurry, but I wanted to make this point real quick. Mm-hmm. I was in church yesterday, and I don't know it was in the Old Testament. And I don't know what scripture she was quoting. We're on Joshua right now, chapter 10.
Mm-hmm.
And she stands up. Oh, I know. Somebody said something about the military. Something. Mm-hmm. We were talking. Somebody mentioned something about the military. Well, whatever. I don't forget the details. So this other lady stands up, and she says, it is in Scripture. I know it's the Old Testament, so that doesn't count in this case, because I think the New Covenant trumps that. But what she said was that any nation that supports Israel will be, and I'm paraphrasing what she said, will be protected and or saved. That's exactly what she said. And my mother, my wife elbowed me because she knew I was, she was afraid I was going to say something, but I didn't.
She grabbed a hold of you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Deuteronomy, maybe. Deuteronomy 7 is one of those passages, I believe.
Okay.
And anyway, there are a couple.
And it does say that the nation that support Israel will be protected.
My first question always when that discussion arises is, let's define terms. And I would say, which Israel? Because I don't believe, again.
My wife already knows my position on that. I said they're a bunch of fakes. They're not Hebrews.
Well, you know,
DNA, they'd be all European.
Right. And it's interesting, you know,
I'm talking about the government. I'm talking about the government.
Right. Right. It's interesting. It starts in Genesis 12, basically. So this is why that to me is a great jumping off point, because, in Genesis 12, the Lord said to Abram, who hadn't had his name changed yet, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And that's kind of where it starts. And then from there, you skip ahead to various passages. But my point is, whichever passage you go to, you are drawn inevitably back to who is Israel. It was, you know, Jacob had his name changed, and Israel became represented by his descendants. So like you're saying, you know, rather than, I mean, the point that you make is the valid, relevant point. But I think for those of us who know and are trying to have this discussion, it's important to remember or to remind ourselves that there is the rampant and pervasive propaganda that's programming people to think a certain way and be hostile to what you're saying. It's really weird, but it really is the way that
I believe that.
It really is the way that Bertrand Russell put it in The Impact of Science on Society, where they've been programmed to believe that the truth, if you believe the truth and you talk about the truth, you espouse the truth, then you have a morbid taste for eccentricity, the way that Bertrand Russell put it. And you know, so to be gracious and merciful and to know that there's what I would call a gestation period, typically of 6 to 12 months, when someone says what this woman said and you say, okay, well, you know, let's talk about it. And so who was Israel? I mean, who got their name changed and what people was that? And just to just to gently encourage and then allow them to go through the birthing process, so to speak. And maybe after 9 months come to you and say, hey, did you know? And you want to say, yeah, we talked about that 9 months ago. Remember, I told you. But it does, just seem to come back to that. So,
well, Chris, I love your show and I appreciate your time. And I could talk to you all day long, but I got to run. And God bless and take care and have a great day, sir.
Thank you, John. I appreciate your call. And your sentiments.
Thank you,
appreciate
sir.
It.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, that's an interesting discussion. But like I said, you know, I think that it's a good one, and I really would sort of emphasize. I know it's a difficult one. I know it's a difficult conversation. Because I've had that conversation for years with one friend in particular who is a very intelligent guy. And it just sort of eludes him. It's just interesting how the programming sort of compartmentalizes the mind in a way that makes the truth unseeable almost. And this is a particularly peculiar issue. It's one that I believe maybe you can't see unless it's prayerfully sought, because this is sort of the epicenter of the, you know, spiritual battle sort of aphorism. How ironic then that, you know, there would be those among us who are misguided or led astray on who and what Israel is. So it's just interesting. There are so many little points. You know, you don't hear pastors talking about Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. Instead, you see the flag, the six-pointed flag up on the stage with the American flag. Neither one probably belongs in the house of worship. You know, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is his. So, you know, again, it's not, it shouldn't be a point of controversy. It should be something we can all get together and discuss and learn and grow and be edified. In this context, I think that's sort of the operative concept, edification of one another, of all. And by contrast, you can see, if you go out before Sunday these days, you'll see people behaving like animals, generally. In some cases, more than others, you know, and it's really unfortunate. Some of us are more civilized animals than others, but it's a sad commentary. Again, if you go back to Alexis de Tocqueville's Democracy in America, you have a markedly different depiction of America. I mean, sure, there is savagery, but it's rooted more in freedom than licentiousness, if that makes sense. And liberty, you know, which it's kind of the same issue, maybe from different ends of the spectrum, so to speak. Not entirely. Anyway, just different. I mean, look back 100 years in this country and see people who had one nice suit and it didn't wear out for most of their lives. They wore it. They dressed nicely. And it doesn't mean there weren't hard times. I've told a story about how my grandfather and his siblings used to root through trash cans to find shoes and pieces of cardboard to stick in them to wear through the winter. And, you know, now we're encouraged to be a, you know, softer, kinder, gentler generation. But are we better off? Again, you know, from last week, the discussion about Edward Bellamy's Looking Backward. We can get rid of all of this stuff, the menial tasks in life and those aren't so menial as in many cases they are meaningful. Ecclesiastes 3:22 to me is where that discussion goes back to. Nothing is better than that man should be happy in his activities, for that is his lot. You know, and we get beguiled and led astray from time to time. If we could just get this done, then we could focus on, but wait, what if this is the, what if these are the meaningful things? You know? I mean, it's interesting. Once you take that stuff away And again, you see those sorts of effects. Aaron and Melissa Dykes have talked about it. You know, when I say the projects are called the projects for a reason, and you can see when you have that sort of socialized system where there is no reward per se for someone's activities, it's just sort of a banal existence, vacuous, banal. That's awful. That's hell on earth. Or so it seems to me. Anyway, stick around. We'll be right back.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Until you use me up. down and he'd talk to me. Oh, and he told me that I ought not to let you just walk on me. And I'm sure he meant well.
Yeah, welcome back. This is an interesting discussion. I'll mention this real quick and as kind of a segue, actually, back to the propaganda discussion, and particularly Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 11, the end of truth. The end of truth. We can't have any truth in a totalitarian society. Hint, hint, America. And so, again, you know, when discussions like what John mentioned, you know, the point that was made by one woman in church yesterday, when those things arise, be interesting, you know, to see if we could foster discussion by saying, so you're a Bible-believing person. There are some controversies in the Bible, some shall we call, familial disputes. And when you look at the great battle, you know, Ezekiel 38, 37, 38, that looks like a familial dispute. It's like a, you know, it's a turf war. Go back to Genesis 10 and look at some of the names, compare names back and forth. And there are other names, but Genesis 10 is, I think, the jumping off point of the name comparisons. And speaking of that, in Genesis 10, folks will notice that Ashkenaz is the grandson of Japheth, mentioned in Genesis 10:3, I believe. And so, what does that mean? And you should be able to have a discussion. You know, the two groups that identify predominantly as Jews, overwhelmingly so, this is an acknowledged, established fact of history, are Ashkenazi Jews, which I would say is an oxymoron, and Sephardic Jews. Again, sort of an oxymoron, because who's who? We need to define terms. So it's just interesting. Those are the predominant people groups, and Ashkenaz was the son of Japheth, not Shem. So if you call yourself an Ashkenazi Jew and someone doesn't like you, you cannot refer to that person as anti-Semitic, because you are not of the Semitic or Shemite bloodline. Predominantly, if you identify as an Ashkenazi Jew, you are from the line of Japheth, not Shem. Sure, they're related, but again, you know, I guess in that sense, so are we all. But you're identifying with a particular, you know, line and commingling terms. I'm an Ashkenazi Jew. Wait, Ashkenaz was the grandson of Japheth, who was the brother of Shem, but you say if somebody doesn't like you, they're anti-Shem. You know, anti-Semitic is the etymology, is the line of Shem. Shem and his people. So how does that work? Seems like there's some sophistry going on there, doesn't it? That's curious. There's more. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Public Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.